Well, I am really looking forward to the message this morning. I think before I get through the first point, you'll understand why, and you'll be fully enjoying it as well. Last week, I shared with you that I was going to be doing several messages that would explain to you how you could know for certain that you had a home in heaven, or that you had the assurance of your salvation, a home in heaven. Last week, I asked five questions about what you believe. And that message is online. If you missed it, I would encourage you to watch it and to share it. Because these five questions were based upon clear statements that were made in the Bible that answering yes to is an indication that indeed you have trusted Christ as Savior and you are born again. Well, this morning I want to ask you five more questions. These are different questions. And the way you answer them will again be an indication whether you have experienced salvation or not. Now, last week, the questions were based upon what you believe. This week, the questions are going to be based upon how has that belief changed your life? Because you see, salvation, faith, is not passive. If you question that, read the second chapter of the book of James. True salvation fundamentally changes a person from the inside out. And let me make it clear. This is not, I asked you these five questions. You come up wanting, and you take from the message, the pastor wants me to go out and do these things whereby I can get to heaven. That's not the way this works. What I'm talking about is if you have trusted Christ, if you have experienced the new birth, God Himself personally is going to bring about this change in you. It's something that He has done when He saved you. Not something that you're determining to do whereby you can be saved. Do you understand the difference? These questions, like the questions last week, are not difficult. They're simple yes or no answers. I have trusted Christ, and yes, this evidence of salvation is in me. And folks, let me talk about motive. Why am I doing this? Okay, number one, I want you to understand the uniqueness of the gospel message. I want you to understand that salvation is not about what we're trying to do for God to earn His favor. Salvation is about what God has done for us. I want you to understand the difference between being religious and having an actual relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to see from the Scriptures that salvation changes you. And if you are saved, you should be able to answer yes to all five of these questions because you have experienced what the Word of God says people experience when they're saved. This message is intended to be a help to you, if you cannot say, I am 100% certain if I were to die this afternoon that I'd go to heaven, this message is intended to help you to see spiritually where you're at, where if you're not saved, you can get saved today. Do you understand? Well, I think it's going to be fun. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the time that we have together. I pray that you'd take your word and you'd use it to help your people. I pray for those that are saved that they would be encouraged in reflecting upon the difference that you've made in their life since they've trusted Christ. I pray for those that aren't saved that are either here with us this morning visiting or they're tuned in online. I pray that they would just relax and be honest with you, knowing that you love them and that you care for their soul and you want them to be assured of their salvation. And Father, we'll be very grateful for we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, question number one. Do you remember the day that you believed in the gospel? Do you remember the day that you believed in the gospel? Now, the gospel by definition is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, do you remember the specific day that you believed in, that you trusted in Jesus for his death, burial, and resurrection? Let me have you turn in your Bibles, and please do turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And while you're finding your place, let me explain to you why I choose this question as one of these five questions. It is a commonly held misconception among people that were raised in a religious home that they have always been Christians. I can't tell you the number of times that I've witnessed to someone and they have indicated, if I ask them, when did you trust Christ as Savior, they've indicated something to the fact that they had always believed. There was never a time that they didn't believe. To them, because their parents had them in church since they were infants, they believe that they have always been saved. However, according to the Bible, this is impossible. Because salvation is not something we gradually grow into. Salvation is an event that happens on a day, a given day, a specific day. Now look, if you will, at the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So Paul is remembering something about the Philippians at the church at Philippi. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request. Now listen to the wording of verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he, referring to God, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, Paul's reference from the first day. He says, this first day was the day that they entered into fellowship, partnership in the gospel. And then he says that on that day, God began a good work in them. Now, practically, this is what it's talking about. Acts chapter 16, the Macedonian vision. There was a day God called Paul and his evangelistic team to go to Macedonia. The first place they went was to Philippi. And you know what Paul did at Philippi? He preached the gospel. He preached that Jesus died for their sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. And there were people in Philippi on that day that they heard the gospel and they believed the gospel. And now they experienced a fellowship in the gospel, a partnership in the gospel with the Apostle Paul. And God says in his word that on that day, God began, God started a work in them that would continue until Christ came back the second time. Now let me give you some support for this. And I'll start off in Acts 16, this very story of Paul preaching the gospel in Philippi. The Bible tells us that Paul went down to a river in Acts 16 and verse number 14 where prayers were offered. And Paul went there. It was the Sabbath, so it was a Saturday, and he preached the gospel, and a woman by the name of Lydia got saved. Many of you know the story. So for Lydia, that day of salvation was a Saturday, and it was by a river, and the Bible says Paul preached the gospel, and God opened her heart. Let me give you another example. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, for the Ethiopian eunuch, it was on a barren road in the Gaza Strip. That's what the Bible says. For the Apostle Paul himself in Acts chapter 9, it was on the road between Jerusalem and Damascus. For Nicodemus, it was one night when he went to Jesus and Jesus preached the gospel to him and he believed. For Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, it was in his house with his family. For Zacchaeus, you remember Zacchaeus? The wee little man. It was the day he was up a tree looking for Jesus. My point is this. No one has always been a Christian. Because salvation is something that happens on a day, in a place. And the person remembers that day because it is the day that they first came to realize that Jesus Christ died for them and they trusted Him. It is a life-changing, life-altering experience. Last week I shared with you a bit of my personal testimony. And I told you, for me, it was one evening in my apartment in Brownstown, Pennsylvania. I'm going to do something to make this point. Pastor Farley, where was it for you?
The parking lot of Sonny's Barbecue.
the Orlando branch. Pastor John, where was it for you?
One morning in my home, in the bathroom, getting ready for work.
Did you hear that? In his bathroom. He didn't have to be in church to get saved. Danny Smith, where was it for you? Does it sound like he remembers where he was when he got saved, that it was a day? Cindy Ann Raskina, where was it for you?
In a truck outside of an automotive store. I'm 12 years old.
Alex Bibby, where was it for you?
Evening in my home in Kentucky, New Jersey.
Wanda Stewart, where was it for you? Maybe you didn't hear her voice. She was house sitting, and it was Sunday afternoon. Frankel, where was it for you? Amen. In his bedroom. Now, let me speak. Barb Camp and Brian Camp are not with us this morning, but I know they're watching online. You'll find this interesting. For Brian Camp, it was right back in that corner where Daryl and Laura were sitting. This building was under construction. There was a full stack of plywood back there. And Brian and I got down on our knees, and he trusted Christ in the back ottoman of this auditorium before it was finished. For Barb Camp, it was sitting at her kitchen table. How many of you would say this morning, by an indication of hands, that it was in church? It was in a church service, whether here or someplace else, that you trusted Christ. Raise your hand. Okay, look around, folks. From a bathroom to in church. Mike Flynn, a member of Chapel Baptist Church, his testimony was, after hearing the gospel for several weeks in the chapel services, he was going to get dog food in his truck. And he was under such conviction that he pulled off to the side of the road and he prayed in his truck to trust Christ as Savior. My question is this. What was the day of your salvation? Do you remember where you were? I'm not asking you the year. In the case of Danny remembers the year. I'm not asking you the year. I'm not asking you the day. I'm not asking you whether it was morning or night. But look, if you were saved, you were there. You were conscious. You know what you were asking Christ to do. And you know now that He answered your prayer. Now listen to me very carefully. If you cannot remember the day of your salvation, it is because you've never been saved. Because it is an experience that you will never forget if you actually have it. Now, if I said, if you can't remember the month and the year and the date of your salvation, you're not saved, that would be absolutely wrong on my part. I couldn't tell you the month for sure. I couldn't tell you the date for sure. But buddy, I was there. I know what I needed, and it was Christ. And I asked Him to save me. And by His word and the result of being born again, I know that He heard me and saved me. if he has saved you, you remember the day. If you don't remember the day, hey, this is really good news. Today can be the day. Open door can be the place that you remember for all eternity. I came to open door. The pastor was talking about the assurance of salvation. He talked about the manner the Bible teaches there is a day. I didn't know the day, but that day I prayed to trust Christ as Savior. Folks, it's that simple. Question number two. Question number two. Has Jesus become precious to you? Has Jesus become precious to you? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. Peter writes, "And unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But in contrast, unto them which be disobedient, he is the stone which the builders rejected. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." The word precious here obviously means someone who you treasure. Now look, especially if you were saved later in life as an adult, as I was, you know what I mean when I say Jesus has become precious to me. Because we went from regarding Jesus Christ indifferently to loving him and valuing him higher than any other. I mean, your pastor, like the testimony of the Apostle Paul, I was a blasphemer. I didn't give a rip about Jesus Christ. When I heard people talk about Jesus Christ in a way that indicated they obviously loved him, it creeped me out. I couldn't imagine why they would be so enamored with Jesus Christ. Well, you know what that was an indicator of? I was lost. I was in the category of those that were disobedient. But man, when God started working in my life, bringing witnesses into my life, convincing me of my sinfulness, convincing me of the fact that I was going to die unforgiven, I was going to go to a Christless eternity, I had no way that I could save myself, religion was not the answer. And I heard that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven, became a man, died on the cross to pay my sins penalty, faced death for me and defeated it, was in heaven ready to save me if I just trust him. And I got down on my knees and I trusted him, and I had the peace of God flood my soul, knowing, according to the Word of God, I'm forgiven and I've got a home in heaven. Let me tell you something. Jesus took on an entirely different place in my life. First place. Now look, I don't always behave like I believe that he's precious. But folks, that's the rule, not the exception. Or that's the exception, not the rule. Let me get that clear. Jesus means more to me than anybody in this world. Because nobody could do for me what Jesus Christ did for me. And again, I'm not talking about that what I am recommending is that you should highly regard Jesus, that you should leave the place this morning with the message resonating in your ear, the pastor wants me to make Jesus more precious. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're born again, he will be precious to you because God will make that real in your life. Question number three. Question number three. Does God speak to you through the Bible? Does God speak to you through the Bible? I mean, when you read the Bible, or you're in Sunday school or church and you have the Bible preached and explained to you, does the Word of God resonate in your heart? Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, here's where the voice of Christ is contained. You are the sheep. I am communicating the words of Christ to you. Does the Bible resonate with you? Or when you pick up the Bible and you read it, does it resonate with you? Jesus would say in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Again, I say this is not something, this is not a talent. This is not something that you acquire to have. This is something that God does. Jesus said it's the Spirit of God that's responsible for guiding you into all truth. In contrast, the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the person that's not saved, the person that's not born again. So here's the simple contrast. Those that are born again and have the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God teaches them. The Spirit of God speaks to them through the Scriptures. The person that is not born again, they don't understand the Scriptures. This is a spiritually closed book to lost people. It has nothing to do with their academics. It has nothing to do with their IQ. It has nothing to do with a Bible degree. It has to do with the fact they either have the Holy Spirit of God or they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can understand the Scriptures. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you can't understand the Scriptures. Now you're thinking out loud because I can hear you. Sometimes Christians say to me, I read my Bible, but I don't get out of it what you do, Pastor. To which I say, are you listening to me? Of course not. There's a difference between taking 10 minutes and reading Revelation chapter 5 in your devotions and me studying Revelation chapter 5 for 40 years and then taking 15 hours to put my thoughts down on paper to clearly communicate it to you. If I've heard a Christian say one time, I've heard him say 1,000 times, I read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. Be careful saying that. Because if you honestly don't get anything out of reading the Bible, it's an indication you're lost, that you don't have the Spirit of God. Now, sure, maybe what you're expressing is, I don't get out of it as much as I expect to. Well, maybe your expectations are wrong. All I'm asking you is, does the Word of God ring true in your heart? Does it resonate with you? Does it speak to your heart? Does it convict you of wrong that you do? Does it encourage you to do right? Is it a blessing to you? Tell you a wonderful story about a young man by the name of Steve Hildebrand. He was a teenager at Liberty Baptist Church when Wanda and I were there, and I was his youth pastor. And there was a handful of guys that came to me, teenagers, that said, we are wondering, would you be willing to do a discipleship class with us after school? And I said, sure. So we would get together in the afternoon, and I selected the book of James. I thought it would be a real help. And we photocopied the pages of James, and we made a big margin around the text. And I showed them how to look up the meaning of words. We talked about recognizing where the paragraphs were. And we would have portions that we would study during the course of the week. And then we'd meet together and talked about it. Well, Steve Hildebrand wasn't a part of this original group. But he heard what was going on and how excited the guys were about what they were learning. And he came to me and he said, Pastor, could I be part of the group? And I said, absolutely. I said, step into my office, I'll give you the worksheets and you can go to town. This is where we are, this is what we're doing this week. He came the next session and I could tell he was troubled. Didn't participate, didn't say anything to me afterwards, but I could just read it all over him. Second week, he said, Pastor, could I meet with you privately? And I said, sure, and we sat down. And he said, Pastor, I can't do this. I don't understand anything that I'm reading. And I quizzed him a little. I went over some things with him, and he said, it is just all confusion to me. If I could give you an example, giving you a law book and asking you to read one page and then simply explain to me what it's talking about. You get the imagery? This is what Steve is indicating. And I said, Steve, if that's the case, you need to understand you're not saved. And he said, that's the same conclusion I came to. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. He got saved that afternoon with me. And the next week, it was a different story. The Bible was an open book to him. Did he understand everything? Of course not. Did he get out of it what I got out of it? Seeing that for at that point, for 10 years,
I'm studying the Bible and have the ability to compare Scripture to Scripture. No, he didn't have that level of understanding. But let me tell you something. He had a smile on his face. He participated. He could understand what was going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does God speak to you through His Word? Because if you are saved, He will. If you're not, you will not understand it. Number four. Are you a different person since you've been saved? Are you a different person since you have been saved? I've got a smile because I look out on this congregation and I know some of you. I know what you were before you got saved. And I'll stand up alongside with you. They have changed. They are a different person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, if any man, this applies to everyone. When someone experiences salvation, this is what they experience. There are no exceptions. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you ever heard the expression, you finish it for me? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's a lie. You look back there at Alan Nancy Harvick. Okay? Forgive me. I think they qualify as old dogs. They would stand up and tell you the Lord has taught them all kinds of new tricks since they have been saved. And they are more recently saved in the past few years. If anyone be in Christ, in other words, have a genuine relationship with Him, have come to Him and trusted Him, and He has received them, they are in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's why Jesus called it being born again. When a baby is born, they are a new creation. They are a new creature. Well, when someone is spiritually born again, they are a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passing away. And the Greek terminology here is old things are in the process of passing away. New things are being implemented. We call it sanctification. Folks, let me tell you something. If there was a vote for Bruce Stewart to be your pastor this morning, and it was the old Bruce Stewart that was standing before you, let me tell you something. If you had a brain in your head, nobody would vote for me to be your pastor. But thank God, it's not the old Bruce Stewart standing before you. It is the new creature that I have been made in Christ. And have I arrived? Of course not. But I have been forever changed by trusting Christ. I mean, this is one of the things that's exciting about salvation. not only does God change us initially when we get saved, He that has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till the second coming. I mean, not only should you, if you're born again, be able to stand up and say, man, this is how Christ initially changed me. But you should be able to stand up and say, and this is what He's doing in my life right now, what He's working in my life right now as He continues to change me. You say you're saved. Are you convinced you are because you know God has changed your heart? You're not the person you used to be. Some of you have heard me tell the story. I guess maybe it was 6 months after I was saved. I was in the bathroom, John, getting ready for work. And I looked at myself in the mirror. And here's the thought I had. Salvation is either real and transforming me, or I am losing my mind. I'm serious. I could not believe in just a few months how much I had changed. I'm talking about from the inside. How my thinking had changed. How my speech had changed. How my interest had changed. And I thought, is it possible that I am losing my mind because I just didn't recognize myself? Can you relate to that? I mean, you have the opportunity to listen to your preachers on a regular basis, and you get pieces of our testimony, you know, scattered through our messages and what have you, and you can gather. Man, the Pastor Farley we know today is not the Pastor Farley that showed up at Sonny's barbecue. The Pastor John we know today is not the Pastor John that stepped into that bathroom. I guess Pastor Jeff is out in the foyer. Hey, we don't even have to use our imagination with him. He must have been a real piece of work. But isn't he different? Isn't he different today? Has the gospel changed you? This is a clear indication that you have been born again. Well, question number 5, and this is the last one. Do you enjoy being around Christians? Do you enjoy being around Christians? Oh, that one must have really resonated. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If you were here on Wednesday night just a couple of weeks ago, because Pastor Jeff is going through 1 John, you're familiar with this verse. 1 John 3. Chapter 3 and verse 14. John writes, We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto life. What's he saying? We know we're saved. We know Christ has changed us. We know we're no longer spiritually dead, but we now have spiritual life. How do we know that? Look what he says. Because we love the brethren. Who is the brethren? Fellow Christians. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Some of you have heard me tell the story that in my neighborhood growing up, there was a small church. And it wasn't unusual on Sunday or Wednesday nights for me to see people going to church with their Bibles in hand. And I would think to myself, why would anybody go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night when I didn't even enjoy going to church at the proper time on Sunday morning? Nobody has to answer that question for me today. I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night because I enjoy church. And what is church? Being with God's people. Being under God's word. There was a time in my life that an actual Christian that would talk about Jesus and being a witness would make me super uncomfortable. I mean, like crossing to the other side of the street uncomfortable, so I did not have to talk to them for fear that they might say something about Jesus or they might talk to me about my need of Jesus. That changed instantaneously when I trusted Christ. Because all of a sudden I had something in common with real Christians that I didn't even have in common with my family members. I had spiritual life. And I wanted to be around people that understood what I had, understood what was important to me. And there is a kinship that we share. I mean, for us, the concept of racism and bigotry is unfathomable. Because we are one in Christ, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We just enjoy being around God's people. And you know the experience? It's so exciting. You're out. And you run into a complete stranger. And you start talking to them, and all of a sudden you realize this complete stranger is a brother or sister in Christ, and immediately you have a fellowship. And you stand there and you talk to them and you share things and you walk away and you say with some lament, in that moment I was closer with a total stranger that I am with my own family that I've known for a lifetime that doesn't know Christ. Do you love being around Christians? Because the moment you trust Christ, God does that work of kinship in you. You recognize you're all part of the family of God. As a pastor that cares about you, I challenge you to take an honest look at your life. Are you just religious? Or have you been born again? When you talk about your faith, are you simply talking about a group of religious people you identify with? I mean, is your go-to statement, I'm Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Presbyterian, or I'm Catholic? Or when you talk about your faith, are you talking about a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ who has changed your life and continues to change your life? So I ask you these five questions again. Just a simple yes or no answer suffices. Was there a day that you remember asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Can you honestly say Jesus Christ has become precious to you? Does God speak to your heart through the Bible? Are you a different person than you used to be since trusting Christ as Savior? Do you love being around Christians? Now again, I say these five things are not something you determine to do. These five things are something God does in us when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins and invite Him into our life to be our Savior. And today, this Sunday morning, right here at Open Door Baptist Church, or watching to this service online, wherever you are, today can become the day of your salvation. Simply by recognizing the fact that you are a sinner like the rest of us. You can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor. That's why Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to earth as a man whereby He could die for you. He paid your sin penalty in full. He faced the death that you deserve and He defeated it. And He says to you this morning, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will make today the day of your salvation, if you, where you're sitting right now, would be willing to tell Jesus you recognize your need and ask Him in faith to meet that need, He will make real in your life these five things, and you'll be glad for it. Let's pray. With every head bowed, whether it's here or watching, wherever you might be, if you would say, God has spoken to my heart, Pastor, because when I answer these questions, I realize that I do not have this evidence of salvation that you talk about, that other people there, obviously, at the church can identify with. And I want to have a relationship with Christ. I do want to have my life changed by Him. I want to have the joy that it comes from knowing that you're saved and right with God. Well, right there where you sit, pray this prayer, but make it your own. All I want to do is help you in a prayer, lead you in a prayer, but it needs to be the reflection of your heart personally. Because there is nothing mystical about the prayer that I would lead you in. What will bring about salvation is if you will express from your heart to God that you desire to be saved. So pray this prayer and make it your own. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that there are things that I say, there are things that I think, that there are things that I do that are wrong before You. And Lord, I want to be forgiven. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he defeated death and rose from the dead for me. And Lord Jesus, I believe you're alive. And I'm asking you to be my Savior. I'm asking you to come into my life and change me and give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, I believe you heard me. And thank you for saving me. And it's in your name that I make this prayer. Amen. Now look, this is what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, based upon the Word of God, he saved you. You don't have to take my word for that. You can take God's word for that. And whether you're here this morning, sitting in this auditorium, or watching online, this is what is necessary for salvation. The reason Sonny's Barbecue, the parking lot of Sonny's Barbecue, was the place of Pastor Tom's salvation was because a good friend had spent time witnessing to him, giving him an understanding where he could pray and trust Christ. The reason John was able to trust Christ in his bathroom was because somebody had been a witness in his life. The reason Jackie and Frankel were saved in their home was because myself and another man went by and witnessed to them. And with this same knowledge of salvation that I'm sharing with you, they prayed to trust Christ. So wherever you are, you can take the message of the gospel and believe it and be saved. It's not about being in church. It's about where you are and what you understand and acting upon it in faith. Amen? I hope the message has been an encouragement to you if you're saved. I hope it'll be life-changing in the life of people that heard it that weren't saved. And let me encourage you. The reason I'm doing these is where you could get a copy of them or you could send someone a text and say, watch this message online. The pastor will explain to you how you can know for sure you're saved.